Creativity in the Age of COVID
with Dr. Judy Blum and Richard Skipper. It's the only program in which therapy and entertainment come together to show everyone not only how to cope in the age of COVID, but how to be creatively productive through it all. And now, Dr. Judy Blum and Richard Skipper.
Happy Thursday, everyone, and happy Thursday, Dr. Blum. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Richard?
I'm doing great. It's always good to see you. This is our first show after Thanksgiving as we careen towards Christmas and Hanukkah and the holidays. And also, believe it or not, this is our seventh episode. Can you believe it?
We're getting there.
We're going to get there. First of all, how was your holiday?
It was very nice. It was very small, like most people. My son came. My daughter was supposed to, but unfortunately wound up testing positive for COVID, even though she's been extremely careful, but it still happens, as we all know. Fortunately, she has a very mild case.
That's good.
So that's the good news. But, you know, I think it brings it home. It really makes it, you know, real, if you will. That this is just something that we all have to deal with and, you know, as careful as we can be and continue to take every precaution.
Well, we all have to do that. And of course, that's why we're here doing this virtually with everyone. I am so excited about today's show. First of all, two of my favorite singers in cabaret are joining us today. And we also have Wendy Stewart, who has a show called Pandemic Cooking, which we will talk about in a few moments. But I want to tell you, first of all, about my dear friend, Celia Burke. And I'm going to make sure that she's on screen so she can hear what I have to say about her.
Okay.
I have been a fan of Celia's before it was fashionable for everyone else to be a fan of hers. The first time I heard her sing, this incredible voice was coming out. And she really, if I can say this, Celia, she really wasn't pursuing this to the extent that once she put her foot in the water, so to speak, she became, is overnight sensation the right way to say this, Celia?
I don't know. I did feel like I was shot out of a cannon, so I don't know if that's the same.
I mean, it was amazing. All of a sudden, she took off, and she's won the MAC Award, which is the Manhattan Association of Cabarets and Clubs, the Bistro Award, the Margaret Whiting Award. She's with the New York City Cabaret Convention. She's become a mainstay over the past few years. I will never forget the first night that she came out and sang, and the audience went like, who is this person? But the reason that I wanted to have Celia here today, among everything else that she's done, is because she has created two new singles, and you have a CD coming out as well. Am I correct,
Celia? If we all live long enough, that's the thing that I can't quite get done. And if I can just say before we talk about that, that you really were there at the beginning. And I always tell people that you were the first person to just be kind to me. I was shaking in my boots and he just was so sweet to me. He was running an open mic and he said at the end, you are always welcome here. And I have just never forgotten that and will never forget that.
Well, so thank you. You are an amazing talent, but tell us, you went into the studio, or did you?
I did.
To record these singles, and if you can talk a little bit about the process and how that came about. I know that you did this with John Weber, who is also a brilliant arranger and musician, and I've also had the pleasure of working with John. But talk about the process of doing this under the conditions that we find ourselves under.
Sure. So the reason you asked about the CD or the album is that I was supposed to start recording my third album late March, early April, and then everything shut down. And as part of the planning for that album, I had wanted to record two songs that I knew I wanted to release as singles. Mm-hmm. One was called A Simple Prayer by Michael Silverscher. And the other was a holiday medley. I've been very lucky in that everything I've recorded gets played everywhere. But I noticed that I would disappear from like the middle of November until the beginning of January once the holiday music started because I didn't have any. So I thought next time I go into the studio, I've got to do something. So last November, John Weber and I got together and I said, I have this idea for a mashup of Silver Bells and Carol of the Bells, and I really want it to have a jazz sensibility, and nobody can do that like John can. Mm-hmm. And we sketched something out. He went off and started traveling his end of year gigs. I did my holiday gigs. It went into a program. I tried it out. And I said, good, now I know what we're going to do. And we're going to tack it onto that recording session. And then the recording session disappeared and everything shut down. But fortunately, I stayed in touch with my friend and album producer, Scott Lehrer, who has his own studio where I've recorded. But he went to Maine and there was no way we were going to be able to do it. But every once in a while, I would just check in and see how he was doing. And he said to me at the end of June, hey, I understand the Kilgore studio Midtown has opened. I think you could get in there. Mm-hmm. The only problem is it only has one isolation booth, and that's the one with the piano. So you're going to have to be in the control booth with the engineer. And I said, oh, I'm not going to do that. And blah, blah, blah. And then the next morning I woke up and I said, oh, grow up. Don't be a baby. You either want to get this done or you're going to wait until everything is perfect. So I very quickly reached out to Alex Rybeck and asked him if he would record Simple Prayer with me. I reached out to John Weber and said, will you do this with me, the holiday medley? And we did it sequentially. We first went to my voice teacher and ran everything because we knew we were going to be tight and the protocols would be difficult. And then they each came in back to back. I had my voice teacher sitting next to me in the control booth. So because there wasn't going to be the luxury of having notes and then going back in and fixing things. And then we handed it over to Scott, who said he would do the mixing from a distance. And he did a simple prayer first, and it came out in September. It was just perfect timing. Mm-hmm. It's all about the world is polarized, and we all have to respect each other and understand that there are going to be times where we're going to be right and we're going to be wrong and we're imperfect creatures, but we really, it's one world and we have to live in it together. And it's this gorgeous song by Michael Silverscher that he actually wrote after 9/11. We put that out and it was just perfect timing, and all the lyrics and the meaning of the song took on a new meaning around people who take care of other people and God bless the people who die and God bless the people who live. And it was just wonderful. And so we got that out and we kept working on the holiday medley, and Scott sent me the first edit and I went, doesn't seem to come alive in the same way it did in a live performance. I'm hearing a French horn. And he said, well, if you're hearing a French horn, we could think about a French horn. We could think about a clarinet. We could have this. We could have a flute. And I said it to my voice teacher. And he said, well, if you're hearing a French horn. So they both started to brainstorm. And we decided that we would go for horns and woodwinds. And Scott found two wonderful musicians, Steve Kenyon and CJ Camerari, and reached out to them. They were both sheltering outside New York, did not want to come back for a 1 to 2 hour recording session. And Scott said, I can make this work. So we all got on a Zoom sort of like this and met each other and decided how are we going to do this. And CJ and Steve just took it. They recorded their parts sequentially. Steve recorded, handed his tracks to Scott. Scott added it into the mix, handed it off to CJ. CJ added his. We all listened. 24 hours later, we got on another Zoom. We said, can we tweak that? Can we tweak that? This? And then they very quickly, within an hour, did little tweaks, and we agreed we were done. And then from that point on, we were just mixing. And then it went to Oscar Zambrano, who's a Grammy-winning engineer who just has done some amazing mastering. He's mastered my albums, and he was remote too. John was watching what we were doing from a distance. My voice teacher was in New Hampshire. Everybody was in a different corner, and we just kept going, and it was wonderful. And I think we all felt, this. I know Alex felt it on A Simple Prayer, and we all felt it on the medley, that we felt like ourselves for a brief period of time. Mm-hmm. But you kind of lose your identity in the middle of this. You have all these dreams and plans and hopes for things you're going to do, and then you just like frozen in place. Mm-hmm. So it was joyful. I feel very fortunate.
That's great. Dr. Bloom, do you, anything you want to say before I bring on our next guest?
I think it's a perfect example of creativity in the age of COVID.
Yeah. You
did everything you had to do to kind of finagle it, you know, to make it work. And it's a lovely story. It really is a lovely story. And I think really inspiring for other people who are saying, you know, yeah, I really want to do this, but how do I do this?
A lot of people saying, I'm going to wait till this is over.
Right.
I don't know how long it's going to be.
And that was kind of my first instinct. Oh, I don't want to be in the control booth with the engineer. And it just was like this delayed reaction. And I went, oh, come on, you just do it. And really everybody had the same mindset, you know? And I think there were things that happened creatively that might not have happened if we'd said, oh, and then we'll listen to the mix and then we'll come in and we'll do this. And there was just this certain urgency and the certain appreciation that you only had so much time. And I think you get something different under a crunch and under unusual circumstances. And everyone was so kind and generous. And I think you can hear it in the recording. It just makes you smile, the recording.
Now, I also want to bring on my dear friend, Jennifer Roberts, who is also a phenomenal singer. She also went into the studio during COVID. And you, what was your process similar?
So I missed that last thing you asked. Was my process similar?
Was your process similar to what Celia did in terms of going into the studio? Because you've just recorded a new single as well. Is that correct?
I just recorded 3 new singles.
Oh, okay.
But I'll go back to, I had started putting those videos out just fluke because we had all that extra time in March, April, May, things that I had done back years ago. And the response was people were saying, this really touched my heart. This was so encouraging. Keep posting work that I had forgotten about from 25, 30 years ago. So then I was going to be on the Jim Masters show. And I thought, what can I create that might touch hearts? And so I reached out to my musical director, Ted Firth, and I said, can you possibly put the 2 songs, I'll Get By and Count Your Blessings together? I thought that would be kind of a really neat combination because they touch my heart. Mm-hmm. And he said yes. So I did it on Jim's show, and I'd also put together a little mini DVD or a little Facebook post of the song with just me singing to Ted. And it got like 2,000 hits and lots of shares, and people said, keep doing this. It's so good for my heart, for my spirit. It's so, it gives us hope. It gives us courage through this time. So a couple of people said, you should record this. And I'm thinking, of course, like I have another CD coming too, but in the studio, we can't do everything that we dream of doing right now. First of all, because financially my work is pretty much gone. And second, how do I get my guys all together? So fast forward, Bob Levy, who I met at the 2019 Mac Awards, both had our CDs last year nominated in the same category. We became friends, and he had me sing a demo for him this spring from my home. And then he called me about a month ago, emailed me and said, I really want you to do this new song, and it's perfect for these times. So we wanted to do it in a studio. I found the only one that was working open in Grand Rapids. And I asked Ted if he could also send me an arrangement of a song called A Child Is Born that's been on my heart for about 6 weeks to sing also. And I thought, well, maybe I can put that out as a single. And work both of them the night that I'm in the studio for Bob. And he got me the arrangement like 2 days in advance. I didn't have much time with it, but I'm like, I'm going to try to make this work. And then I decided if there's time, I'll also record I'll Get By, Count Your Blessings. So my priority was number one, go sing Bob's song, get it the way I want it, send it off. Daryl Kojak did a brilliant, beautiful arrangement of this stirring song. And it really talks about the times we're in right now and what I still want to do while I'm here. And then I thought my songs, like Celia, would take numerous hours, but I got Bob's song done in under an hour. my first one, which was most important to me, A Child Is Born, was under an hour. And I thought, we're going to have time to do the third one, which also came in under an hour. And we got the whole thing. Bob's done my two, mixed, mastered, sung by Wednesday night before Thanksgiving. And I was so excited. That was my Thanksgiving home with my two cats going, I have two things to share with the world. I have a gift to give. Mm-hmm. And I have limited finances, limited time. And the feedback's been great. They're going to launch this week, but I've got them a couple places where people can hear now. So that was my gift to people with the best means that I had right now, my voice. My talent and the little funds that I had to make it work.
Great. That's wonderful. And I want to let you both know that any promotion or anything, please post on my pages on Facebook and on my social media pages so we can get that out there. Any comments from you, Dr. Bloom?
Again, a great example of you know, surviving in adversity, right? You know, doing what you've got to do and getting it out there. And I can hear, you know, this for you, this was also a move of just giving back to others, mm-hmm. you know, in the season of having gratitude and giving back.
Right.
So, like, I love it.
Now, yeah. I also, I mean, on, you know, we've dealt with our singing, but that we also have someone who is one of the funniest people out there. And I will tell you, there is absolutely no moss growing underneath her. So I do want to let you all know, I am still getting a little feedback, so you may want to mute your mics unless you're speaking. So I don't know why we're getting that. Wendy Stewart. Hello, Wendy.
Hey, great to be here, Richard. I mean, you in many ways are the wind beneath our wings. I have to tell you, you've set an amazing example for so many of us how to be creative during these times. Every time I go on social media, you have a guest on, you have a round table, but that fuels the fire for performers like me. On March 12th, they shut New York down. And my 35-year career as a model, an actress, a host, a club MC, a stand-up comedian, and a documentary filmmaker and an author came to a crashing halt.
And folks, that's just on Mondays.
It came to a crashing halt, and I stood in my kitchen on March 13th, and my husband's a cinematographer, and I said, we are creative people. They just took the guts out of everything we do. What are we going to do? And literally 10 minutes later, I looked at him. I said, we're going to do a cooking show. And he said to me, Wendy, you don't cook. I said, exactly.
Now that's thinking outside the box.
Right. And the rest is history. 89 episodes of pandemic cooking with Wendy. And the wonderful thing about it is it's let me use everything that I am. I have a closet full of costumes, makeup, wigs, the whole nine yards. So I can be any character I want on my own show, which is really great. But I have to tell you something. And Judy, I want to get your take on this. I feel like I exploded during the pandemic. I all of a sudden, because everything was taken away from me, it was sink or swim. I came up with another show a few weeks later that addresses all the issues in the LGBTQ community. Mm-hmm. It's called Triversity Talks. And I have on people from politics, from law, from entertainment, filmmakers, anything you can think of on that show. Mm-hmm. And we talk about, you know, how all of those people are dealing with the pandemic and how they have dealt with issues during the last 4 years of the administration, right? Mm-hmm. And then most recently, I hooked up with, of course, you know, Richard, Tim Moss, yes. Who I adore, who I met last November.
He was on with us on our last show.
Yes, and I always thought I want to work with this guy. And I talked to Tim about doing a show with me, and the show is called If These Walls Could Talk.
Wow.
And we wanted to do it from Pangea, but obviously we can't do it at this point from Pangea, but we've moved ahead. Now we're doing that show. Wow. And we're bringing on, you know, people from the entertainment industry, as well as artists, New Yorkers that you've known and loved, that have been out there. You know, my give back, right? Because I hear everyone here has talked about their give back. My pandemic cooking show, the best compliment anyone can give me is they were very sick in March, and that show really made them feel good. They would turn it on and see all the mistakes I made and my funny outfits and all of that. And I ramble on. It's like a little bit Julia Child and a little bit Lucille Ball. And it made them feel good. I try and take the reality of this pandemic, which is so unbelievably tragic. I feel that how could such a thing have happened? And yes, I have anger about it. I certainly do. I still want to know what the heck happened in Wuhan. Nobody's really told any of us, and here we all are. But with that being said, I know as a creative person, every person that's on screen with me right now, we all have something we can bring to the party. We are the Renaissance people. We're the artists. And if we can't do it, who can?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you really tapped into it, Wendy, that you know, that creative urge needed expression.
Yes.
And you just kind of went with it. You just went with whatever popped up. Okay, I could do this. I could do that. I, you know, maybe I'll try this. Throw it out there. See what happens. It's, you know, throwing spaghetti against the wall, right? You know, it's if it sticks, great. You know?
And if it doesn't stick, you know what? That's okay, too. Listen, I remember that movie Network? I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore.
Exactly.
Mid-March, that's where I was. Oh, may I add in, I also got COVID in the middle of this.
Wow.
So not only could I not cook, I couldn't smell or taste.
Right.
And my daughter reminded me, she said, you were sitting in the corner of the couch with a wig on, with a low-grade fever, you couldn't smell or taste, right. And you were coughing. She said, I watched you walk into the kitchen and do that show as if everything was normal. But we are all performers. The show has to go on no matter what.
That's correct. You know, and I do cook. And I actually, Tom, my fiancé, thought I should do a cooking show, do a cooking show on air during the pandemic. From a psychological point of view, I'm like, let's cook for depression. And this is my anxiety. Let's pound that chicken,
Pound it.
Well, there are a lot of, in history with the pandemics, after the pandemic came great works of art. Shakespeare wrote some of his greatest works after his pandemic. King Lear. The Jazz Age came out of the pandemic at the beginning of that century. I think you're going to see an explosion of creativity. I think people are doing all kinds of things that we just don't see yet and are learning things about themselves that they will then find a way to express in the way, in whatever their mode of being creative is.
I do think it's up to us as performers and even being on this show to reach out to other performers. I know there's a lot of people that are friends of mine that they've been cold stone stopped. So I try and inspire them. I also know there's a whole other group of people, Tim Moss included. We've been doing these fun shows on Zoom. You know, they call them variety shows. But, you know, we put them up on Facebook, people attend them, and we all have different shtick that we do. I do comedy. Some people do comedy. We have singers. They're just shows that we put together as friends, as performers, as actors. And it's so great and so much fun. I really look forward to doing them. And people tune in. So,
and hopefully a lot of that will continue, long after the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
Now that you found additional outlets to express your creativity, right? You know, you can continue to do that. And as Celia mentioned earlier, doing it the way that you had to do it brought a certain quality to the music that it wouldn't
urgency
just normal.
You know, I think that I'm reminded of, based on what I've read, I wasn't there, when vaudeville was closing and theaters were closing, and there were people that whose careers ended simply because they were waiting for it to come back rather than trying to embrace the changes in the business. A lot of them left the theater and went to Hollywood to do films. And then when television came along, the same thing. When you think about this, I'm a product of 60s and 70s variety shows. And when you think about this, that was only 30 years
right
after vaudeville. And so those, they were thriving on television. And I think that there are just maybe different ways that we would be getting our art out. I want to go around and I want to ask all of you, and I'll start with you, Wendy, and we've all talked about our art, our creativity and everything. I want to know if you have a structure to your days, to the best of your ability, that helps to get you through each day moving forward when it comes to creating your art.
Okay, this is going to be sounding completely insane, but I also, right in February, started working with a PR firm. They have consistently booked me on podcasts and radio. I mean, I have a schedule every week. Then I have some live clients who came back for modeling that I am booked with. Then I have random things that are happening live where they're following, you know, all the COVID procedures in the legitimate jobs in our business where people are still creating commercials and film. So my day, my weeks are exploding. The challenging thing for me is if I do something that's live, then I have to run back home to get on the Zoom thing because the podcasts and all of those things. So now I have to mix my real life with my virtual life. And there's, also, right? There's always the thing that does hang over your head. I must, because I am out there, Richard, I've had to be, and I am being safe, but I'm not going to lie. I'm out there. And I have to take the subway. And that is, the cars are empty. But in my heart of hearts, I do believe that's still not 100% safe. So I'm sanitizing. I come in. I'm scrubbing. I spray my shoes and myself with the disinfectants. How crazy is that? But I just feel that, you know, this is my new schedule. This is my new life. Is it my new normal? I honestly can't answer that. I don't want to answer that because
it comes. Well, I'm going to answer it for you. It is your new normal for now.
Yeah.
It's your now.
Your now normal. I like that.
You know what, Richard? I like that better than new normal. It's my now normal.
I'm going to take that. That's great.
Sure. I give it to you as a gift. I didn't make it up.
And what about you, Jennifer? Do you have a structure to your days?
No. Somebody else asked me this on an interview. I know you are. You're up every morning early. I've watched a lot of free web programs and a lot of interviews and a lot of paid for classes and so forth. But an underlying message I've heard a few times is to give ourselves a break right now and to be gentle with ourselves. So I'm finding it very difficult to go to sleep at night. And then I will give myself a break if I don't get up at 8 or 9. I'm just being more balanced and letting myself, be human because this is a difficult time. Mm-hmm. And then I have days where I work a couple days a week, and that's going to get busier. But it's not my regular work. It's my stay afloat work. So it's not enough, but it's somewhere to go, as Wendy said. Mm-hmm. But no, I'm getting creative things done every day. And if I have many lulls, I find a program that I've already paid for that I watch. I'm doing a lot. There's sermons out there. There's messages. There's all your interviews that are fabulous. I've been watching both of you. There's wonderful music. Everybody's streaming their concerts. There's everything I find is something that motivates me and gets me going. I don't sing a lot of days. I do if I have a project. And then once I have a goal, I'm singing every day. I'm back into my thing. But even our exercise, we can't go to our classes. So I'm taking daily walks. It's not my normal. And I'm working out at home, but it's not what I normally do. But I'm staying okay right now. I'm okay. I'm healthy and making the most of what we have right now.
Mm-hmm. And Celia,
I created a structure for myself, and I decided I was going to sing every day. I sing for about 45 minutes a day. The weird thing was the stress of things ending abruptly meant all the lyrics went out of my head. It was like, Judy, you can probably explain this. There was some part of my brain that went surging towards survival. And whatever that part of my brain was had all the lyrics. So I was just doing vocal exercises. But I said to myself, I'm going to come out of this with a high C. Even though no one will hear the high C, that means the A and the G sharp will sound really good if I can do the high C. And it's pretty much there. I try to do something physically every day. whether it's yoga or Pilates. I had my Pilates teacher. We did it, things remotely by Faith for a while. We're now back in the studio, masked up. And I decided I wanted to pick up on something I had been working on and really work on it with a director. And I reached out to a friend of mine in the opera world, and who actually runs Opera America. And I said, I would like a director who's not from the cabaret world, but would understand the cabaret world, just to bring a different sensibility. And he said, I have the perfect person for you. And he put us together. And we spent all summer Zooming and putting something together. And we have yet to meet in person, but I've got a set list and I've got patter, and we won't know whether it's any good for you because it all looks brilliant on paper. Mm-hmm. Everything's brilliant until you actually.
sometimes.
What was I thinking? But but I thought I'm going to come out of this with my high C, and I'm going to come out of this with a draft of a show.
Good for you.
And that's how I'm doing it. And I'm actually having work done in my apartment, because isn't that what everybody would do in the middle of a pandemic? So if I open this door, you will see there's a plastic sheet and a zipper. I'm living behind.
Well, some people, like Dr. Bloom, decides in the middle of a pandemic to move from the West Coast to the East Coast.
Exactly.
I did. At this point, it's about a month and a half ago, I guess, about 6 weeks ago, I moved from Los Angeles in Santa Monica to Florida. And my kids were down here, which was the primary impetus. Mm-hmm. And it's been, you know, it's been a real change, and we're still unpacking. but it's good. It feels right. It feels like it was the
right moment. You're moving somewhere. Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So we moved here. And took all my patients with me because it's Zoom, you know, so they're still there in a different time zone, but nobody really cares. And, you know, we talk about structure, Richard. You know, at 9 to 10 in the morning is my time that I go to the class down here. That, again, I wear a mask, it's socially distanced, it's all that. But it's a very intensive bar dance class. And it gets my day going.
Mm-hmm.
It gives me energy so that I can sit and talk to patients all day. Again, it's really important that we carve out time for ourselves, self-care time, and that's sacrosanct. There's nothing that gets in the way of that.
It's interesting that you say that. A common thread that I'm hearing from so many people, because so many people are at home now, and so many people, I mean, those of us who are, Celia, myself especially, part of the New York City cabaret scene, on any given night, 10 friends could be doing shows.
Yes.
And we feel that we're rushing because we want to support them. We want to be there for them. But now those 10 friends are not just putting stuff out there. It's right here at home. And every hour on the hour, there is some content. As I say to everyone, I know I'm putting out a lot of content. You don't have to watch it live. It's saved for later. Don't feel the, and I appreciate those that want to be there for me, but just know that it's there whenever you want to go to it. It's like going to the refrigerator and getting the leftovers.
Good analogy.
Right. Now, the next question that I want to ask each of you, because you've each talked about what you've done as far as bringing the creativity forward. I want to know, during the last few months, and today marks 266 days, New York shut down. What have you resisted the most in terms of the pandemic? Now, Celia, and I hope you don't mind my saying this, but back in May, I asked, you know, for you to be a part of something, and you weren't really ready to do anything online. What changed for you?
Well, I thought you were asking me to sing live online with a track in my ear, and I'm still not ready to do that.
No.
I think this is, that lives forever, and I just, I'm very ambivalent about that. I'm going to be so happy when all I have to do is sing and I'm not the lighting person and the sound person. And I cannot wait to just go back. I will never take it for granted again.
No,
I am doing something in a couple of weeks where I'm being interviewed and I was asked to sing and I said no. And then I went back and I said, can I do something for you a cappella? I think it will work. And they said, fine. But this idea of a track in my ear, I'm still resisting that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what about you, Jennifer? Is there anything that you're resisting at this time?
Probably the same thing. I did get the invite to do the Jim Master Show and they wanted me to sing live. And I said, any chance I can do a recording? Because there's a lot of extra pressure on an artist if you are the tech person, like Celia said, and you're doing all that stuff and you got to remember lyrics.
Excuse me for interrupting, but one other thing that Celia just said is it's always out there, you know?
Right. So which is true. Unfortunately, I didn't mess up. You watched after the fact, but I had technical difficulties because he told me to turn off my mic, which is where I had my music stored. But anyway, it's different for us. Those of us that sing to a community, we sing to an audience, we sing to faces. It's really difficult to sing to a computer and a little green light. But mm-hmm. I did it, but not to say I won't. I've got another interview next week. It'll just talk and I'm so relieved. I don't know if I won't say no, but at this point I'm not pursuing it and mm-hmm. I'm not signing up for open mics because of the same thing. It's mm-hmm. not the same as communicating. Even the studio, so you don't you think singing in a recording studio with the mic is a little bit different than singing to a computer?
Oh, absolutely.
Green light.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So that
people are with you in the studio. You're getting feedback, you're getting musical feedback, you're getting technical feedback. It's a very collaborative, it's very intimate, like cabaret is intimate when you're in there. I love being in the studio.
So totally different. That's my goal, to do more songs like that than doing these live streams. And I applaud all my friends that have been doing it. It's just, that's what I
do. Too. Mm-hmm. I really admire everybody. And some people have really refined it and they look great. Yeah. But and I don't want to learn the hard way.
And what about you, Wendy? I mean, what have you found that you are resisting the most?
I'm honestly not resisting to anything. This has been an amazing time for me. I am not a singer and I'm listening. One of the things that both Jennifer and Celia brought up, they're right. They put that track in their ear and they sing and it's on here and it's there in perpetuity. Okay. And it's not being appreciated by a live audience. You're singing to a screen. I totally agree with you on that. I am not a singer, this has been an incredible time. I've been writing parodies. I actually was going to have somebody do a track for me. I found the track distracting and I'm singing all the parodies a cappella and having a grand time doing it. There's nothing I won't do. I had no technical expertise on March 12th. And I have self-taught. My husband has helped me. Mm-hmm. I've become a lighting wizard, still working on becoming a sound wizard, broadcast on any kind of platform you can possibly think of, have dealt with, and you all know this, with live stream, pixelating, outside interference. I don't know, one day I just dropped off the screen in the middle of talking. I still don't know what happened. It's very frustrating, the technology.
Well, if I can say something about this, because I'm an avid news watcher, and what we are doing right now is being done on every news network, and they are dealing with the same issues that we're dealing with.
Yep. When I see that, I'm like, oh, good. I don't feel so alone. But there's nothing I won't try. You know, I wish I could hear more about classes. You were mentioning a bar class. I would love to do a dance class somewhere that was safe. This summer, I was looking for like outdoor workout classes. I just think, we have to just reinvent everything right now. Mm-hmm. And we have to adjust. All right. And we can't beat ourselves up over things. We'll not do that. You know, the terminology, go with the flow. Right. That is what now is about.
Yes.
I think the other thing that's really interesting about all the news programs and even what we're doing is everybody is in everybody else's home now.
Yes.
I've find that really fascinating.
And do you find yourself, Celia, looking at the book titles on the bookshelves?
Well, now people have figured out how to game it. So, you know, they put the books and they put their book up with the title in the front. And when you see people who are on the talk shows over and over again, it's pretty funny because the first time there's like nothing in their bookshelves that they put books in, then there's flowers, and then they change the angle of it. It's like, as to Wendy's point, they're going with the flow and you're evolving and you're learning, but there have been some horrific things online where there was one day where whatever you were watching, everybody was freezing. It was a Microsoft thing because everybody said, oh, this just happened to me on my last interview. So you're just at the mercy of this technology. Yeah. But this breaking down the barriers between how you want to be seen and the fact that you're in your home and people are in your home with you, either now if you're working, you know, if you're part of a company and you're working as a team and now you're in each other's home, or when you watch the news and I go, wow, that's interesting. Boy, does he have, at first there was one person, I thought they were lived in a hotel. That was how beautiful his home was. Somebody else, it's like you could see the bicycle in the back and the T-shirt hanging on the door. It was just so interesting. And I'm ambivalent about some of it. I
feel that it's almost humanizing these people on a level that, you know, you think, and a lot of us, I've been very, very fortunate because I've interviewed some of the biggest names in the business, and I've interviewed people who were just starting out. And the one common thread that we're all in this together. I mean, I don't care who you are, what you've accomplished in your life. On March 12th, everything stopped, you know, and this is, you know, and those of us who were in this profession, that's why when this idea was suggested to Dr. Bloom and myself, we both jumped at it, you know, to bring these two aspects together.
I just want to say one thing. You can see all of our homes. And then behind Richard is this sparkly curtain, right?
Yeah. This is the way I live.
This is Richard's home. This is how Richard lives. It's so funny. It's just perfect.
Now, one of the other things that I want to talk about, unless Dr. Bloom, do you want to say something?
I was going to say, one of the things that's really interesting for me as a therapist is, you know, normally I would have people come in my office, as you see behind me, right? This is my office. But people would come to my office, they'd sit on the couch, we'd talk, right? And it's in a very contained kind of environment, on my turf, if you will.
Yes.
Now I'm on their turf, right? And I can see a lot more about who they are, even just looking at their living environment, you know, what's around them. I can see, you know, even the distractions that they have, you know, because of everybody working at home and kids being home and all that stuff. It makes it much more, actually much more real and present. And it brings them into into their world in a way that
One thing that I'm thinking about when it comes to you, Dr. Bloom, is that, you know, finding the right therapist is something that everyone thrives for.
Right.
And then, you know, that your therapist comes in one day and says, guess what? I'm moving across the country. But now this is the way that your patients are seeing you anyway. And it's as if you're right there.
That's right.
You know?
Right. Yeah. Everybody was, okay, fine. You know, how does that affect us? It doesn't. Okay, great. You know, maybe we move the time around a little bit just because of the time differences. But that, you know, that literally that was it. And now I can see East Coast people on East Coast time, so that's even better.
Now, one thing that I do want to jump into here also with everybody is that, and I will give a shout out right now to all the technicians in the world, all the lighting designers, all the people who work behind the scenes to make what we do on stage look flawless.
Absolutely.
So we really appreciate those people. But the other people that we really appreciate right now are the publicists and the people that are out there who get our names out there.
Totally.
Right now, all of us are really fighting for our own little niche, our own little corner of the world. And I want to ask each of you what you're doing. I know, Wendy, that you said that you have a new publicist that you signed with, but you're very proactive in your own career.
I am online 3 hours to 5 hours a day. It's ridiculous. You know all these shows on Netflix that everyone watches? Wendy doesn't go to sleep until 1 o'clock in the morning, and then I wake up at 7. Even with having PR people, they put something out there and they get it out on all these wires. I still have to get it out there to, you know, all of the followers on Facebook, on Instagram, email. It's and you know this too, Richard, because you pop up in my feed all the time.
Is that good or bad?
No, it's great, but it's a lot of time. And then I am booked. I am working. I don't have any downtime now. And I do find that I'm hoping going forward when we get back to normal and we can be out there and going to auditions live and performing live, I think that will be better in a lot of ways, because my eyeglass prescription has doubled because of this. I'm totally sure, because I'm sitting here. I've got three devices. The iPad's here. The phone is to my right. I have this computer. And then we have a backup computer. God forbid something happens to this computer. So I'm constantly thinking, I can't let my star not shine out there. I have to keep pushing it. I've been at it a long time, as a lot of us have, and I will not hang up my toe shoes, not for anybody, not till I'm ready. Not until I'm 90, and maybe not even then.
You do come down, huh? Remember that. You do need the self-care.
Absolutely.
It is important. So, yeah, you can't get to a ball class or a dance class or whatever right now, but you can do one online.
So, yeah.
You know, I know, and I will say this, you know, with doing these shows, once this show is over today, it takes me about half an hour to get everything uploaded to YouTube and to my editor so that he can go onto the podcast and everything. Well, once that's done, I go off the grid until tomorrow morning when I start my new day. Some days I have shows that are later than this, and on those dates, I am on a little bit later. But I agree with Dr. Bloom. It's imperative for all of us that we do have our downtime that is not just in this box that we're in right now. And Jennifer, what about you? What are you doing in terms of getting your name out there during these trying times?
Well, I told you I stumbled on all those old DVD or VHS tapes that I had not remembered. And I started putting songs out, and all of a sudden I started getting all this feedback, and then I started getting...
No, excuse me. I'm going to let everybody know. Jennifer used to appear with Porter Wagner. If you remember Porter Wagner, Dolly Parton also started with him. I don't know what happened to her, but I do know about Jennifer Roberts.
Well, these VHS tapes, going back, they were my early days in Nashville when I was singing and dancing for a living. And I was on Porter's show like nine times. And I was also like doing 30 shows a week at Theme Park. And that's where I got my jazz chops. That's where I got a lot of my rhythm and chorals. Even though I did a lot of choral in high school, I mean, in college, this was really it. So I started throwing those out and mixing them with classical, because I'd sung with the symphony for 8 years. And I started throwing those out. And then some of my acting comedy reels and old stuff. And the feedback was great. So I seemed to get a following that way, not even realizing it. I was not self-promoting. I was just putting my work out. And the feedback was so encouraging and please do more. So I just kept doing it. But the initial thing was not for myself. Then I started joining groups, and you get followers that way. With my new project, and there's been some really wonderful DJs and vocal programs that continue to play my CD. Same with Celia. We're frequently on the same programs, which is neat. Isn't that cool? It's like happened 3 or 4 times on the same show. But I will write them and say, I've got a couple new songs coming out, and they've put it out there. So I'm just doing it from a sincere, honest, I'd love to share this with you. I'm not doing it from a promo, even though I know a lot now because I just took a business class on how to maximize. I'm just doing it from an honest place and sending them out. And when they like it, the biggest gift of all is when they choose to share it on their show or endorse it or put it on their Facebook page or write a review about it. My CD was reviewed by Stephen Mosher at the beginning of COVID, and he gave it such a glowing review. It put me in such a high, and that was like April or May when we were in the midst of all of this negativity and despair. And it was just such a huge lift. And then I was on someone's interview, and then somebody else in Paris reviewed my CD and gave it a glowing review. Then somebody with All About Jazz. All that to say, I was just innocently sending it out, and the feedback was so great. And I think the most rewarding thing is when people write, "This touched me, this moved me." Please do more. Thank you. And it was just kind of, that's what I'm doing. It's just honest, sincere, putting it out there. And then obviously Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
Mm-hmm. And Celia?
You've been one
of a little combination of both Wendy and Jennifer. I absolutely spend hours every day. You build relationships and then you have to keep them going.
Yeah.
And then you do meet people and they lead you to interesting connections. And so you, then they're all interrelated. So what's the difference between what you put on Facebook and your Facebook timeline as opposed to your Facebook page, and what is Instagram for and what is Twitter for? And I reorganized my YouTube channel, and then I took some of my old recordings and put them out as videos. First, Rain Sometimes, because that was the mood I was in at the beginning. I was very, you know, there's going to be rain sometimes. But then I put out The Broken Record, which is just this funny, we're living on a loop kind of a thing. And then, of course, the two albums. And I always have help. I know some wonderful publicists, so I always have a partner in what I do. But I do a lot of outreach myself, mm-hmm. because you build these relationships. And so when the singles came out, I sent them because they're my relationships. Mm-hmm. And then the publicist helps with press releases and things like that. But you're touching it every single day. Mm-hmm. The other thing I noticed over the last 9 months, I guess it's about 9 months now, is that I'm hearing from people who I don't usually hear from.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think we were all so busy that we kind of looked at, you know, you look at Facebook kind of like a muscle reflex all the time, but mm-hmm. people had time to click through and listen. And I heard from people who seemed to be hearing things for the first time, even though they've been out there for years. And I wow. thought, that's fine. But it encouraged me to keep going, that there were people who had a little more brain space and need the break from what they were doing, and that I could put things out that they enjoy. So there's opportunities hidden in all of this, but you just get up every day and you go, all right, what am I going to do today to keep moving forward?
Yeah. Dr. Bloom, anything you want to say to wrap all this up?
You know, everyone really seems to embrace where they are and what the situation is. And that's exactly what we need to do. Just embrace it, not catastrophize it. You know, it's not a catastrophe. You know, the house burning down with three people in it, that's a catastrophe. This mm-hmm. is not a catastrophe. It's difficult. The pain in the butt, you know, but it's not a catastrophe. And I think that's also really important. Mm-hmm. You know, it's something that we will all get through. And hope is on the horizon, you know. We actually can see them coming. Right. And you know, it's going to turn around. It will.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I love the comment about the now normal. No.
I love that.
Right?
No.
And we will have a new now normal.
We will. Yeah. I love the now normal. I'm adopting it. I can't believe this, everyone, but we are at the end of our show. I want to thank all of you for being here today. I want to thank everyone who tuned in. If you had a great time, and we hope you did, please tell your friends. Dr. Bloom and I will be back on the 17th of December talking about other great artists. If you have ideas or suggestions for the show, we do this for you. So if there's anything that you would love to see us talk about on the show or anything, please let us know and we will try to build shows around those themes. I also end every show by telling everyone to go out and do something nice for somebody else without expecting anything in return. Go to your Facebook friends list. Pull up the third name that pops up and reach out to that person and call them. Don't email them. Don't text them. Call them and let them know what they mean to you. Now, before we end the show, I'm going to give each of you a chance to give your final word for today. It can be anything that we've talked about that you want to expound on. It could be anything that we didn't talk about that you wish we had, or it could just be any message that you want to put out to everyone who's watching right now. And I'll start with you, Wendy.
I think one of the things we said, and we keep hearing it, we're all in this together, but I do think we really need to act on that. I'm going to pick up on what you said, Richard, the calling thing. I do that. And I, you know what? Tell your friends. Tell your friends when you talk to them. Pick out a couple of people a week. Pick up the phone and call them. The voice contact is absolutely everything. Yeah, we can text and email and all of that, but we have to work extra hard now to really reach out on a human level. It's terrific that we can all be here on the screen, but you know what? Sometimes the voice and what the emotion is that comes through the voice will mean everything. So I tell people, just reach out, touch somebody, make a difference in their lives.
Amen. Jennifer?
Same thing. Richard, you always pay it forward, and you always say to pay it forward. So if we have the funds, I try to support my friends' endeavors, their CDs, their singles, their books. I always have ordered. When I can't, I watch their live streams. I watch their concerts. I've been reaching out to a lot of people via text, via email, via phone call, because a lot of people are totally isolated for the first time. Mm-hmm. I think of our Broadway community. I think of our jazz musicians that are out 7 days a week, living the dream, and now they're isolated in their home. So I reach out to people and make sure they're okay. And I just took an 89 and a half year old woman to the beach a couple of weeks ago.
Good for you.
Yeah, because Richard blessed me. He blessed a friend by buying a necklace for me from a friend whose business was struggling, Nick Tarr, who sent it to me. So I was blessed, and Nick was blessed, and Richard did do the same for somebody else. So within a couple of weeks, I took this lady to the beach, which she really wanted to do. And again, free for me, except for gas money. I bought her ice cream, but what a blessing to bless somebody else. So we can do a lot of things.
Terrific.
Great. And Celia?
One of the things that I learned kind of the hard way was to put down the device and to turn off the TV. Let there be a little silence, create a little silence in my head, and have real conversations and connections with people. I think we were very bad at that before this. I think we were multitasking and had one eye on the device and one eye on what we needed to do next. And I think we can reconnect with living in the moment and connecting to other people. And I think we should be careful not to lose that when this is over.
Yeah.
Thank you. Now, Judy, it's time for you to put the bow on all of this.
Well, you know, connection is what it is all about, right? And this has taught us how valuable connection is. It's all we have, really, is connection with people who have meaning for us in our lives. I took to having walked with friends during the pandemic when I was in California. And I miss those walks, and so do they. So now we're still doing walks, but we're doing them on the phone, right? We're still going on a walk together.
You know? I love it.
So it's finding ways to maintain those connections with the people we know, who we love, let them know we love them. And let them know.
Yes.
Thank you all, everybody.
Thank you.
I love you all. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night.